feels like the ways to be formed are endless.
Well, your formation may be endless, and mine too, but the categories for formation are really quite manageable.
Really?
Yes. Listen in to find out more.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling the missionary mindset in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Apostolica Maxuositatum, part 2.
You're still so excited about it.
It's still so good.
It's still so good.
So for those who didn't listen last week, there's an episode from last week, and it's a bit of an introduction to Apostolica Maxuositatum, the decree. Is it a decree? Let me check real quick. I know that there's a difference between constitutions and decrees, and I don't remember what the difference is, but yes, it's a decree on the apostolate of lay people, which is a document from the Second Vatican Council, also called Vatican II.
And it has a chapter in it about the formation of lay people in the apostolate.
It does.
Which is something you'd been on the hunt for, essentially, wondering if the magisterium had something out there to say how a layperson ought to be formed to have an apostolate.
Uh-huh.
And not only does it have a document on formation, but specifically on the formation necessary for maximum effectiveness.
Which is what we talked about last week, about whether or not we even wanted maximum effectiveness in our apostolic work, which sounds crazy, but I think a lot of us are working in a kind of, not scarcity mentality, but more like failure is the probable fruit of our work, which...
We don't want to be afraid of failure, and we don't want to see failure as a... Like, it's okay to have failure, but...
But it's not like failure is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we should work so that we fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that we should be cooperating with the grace of God given for the salvation of our souls first and foremost and the salvation of the world.
And the second paragraph in this chapter, which is paragraph 29 of the document,
for those who are counting,
goes into how a layperson ought to be formed.
And it's delightful.
It's so good. And it's consistent with other things that we've heard and received other mm-hmm. places, but it sort of fleshes things out in a neat way.
Yeah.
Now, you kind of broke it into sort of 5 main points. I think you would happily do 5 or more podcasts.
Absolutely.
But for the time being...
Oh, I mean, honestly, we could do like a weekend retreat on this. We could do... Literally, we could spend over a month on this stuff or 2 years on this stuff if we wanted.
Yeah.
Because they're just tapping on all of these topics and saying, like, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. And that's what I want to do.
So for tonight, I'm going to keep you at the iceberg cap.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Okay.
So iceberg cap. I mean, this is even higher level view than the iceberg cap. The breakdown of those sections, I mentioned Joseph kind of outlined that paragraph 29 into 5 primary sections. There's sort of 4 primary areas of formation, being human, spiritual, intellectual, and apostolic formation, which are 4 pillars that are familiar to the training we've received as missionaries with the Fellowship of Catholic University students. And then also it acknowledges the importance of practicals in formation. The document actually says that the formation for the apostolate cannot consist in merely theoretical instruction, which I love.
Hmm.
We need to get practical. Practical in all 4 of those areas, the human, spiritual, intellectual, and apostolic. So... We want to talk a little bit more about human first, since the document addresses that first.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. It says that it presupposes, this formation presupposes a certain human and well-rounded formation And this is, it's the crazy thing because there have been some, like, wonderfully put together men and women that I've met who I would say, you have received human formation that's well-rounded. Like, you can converse with people with ease. You have command of the tasks ahead of you. You have a decent knowledge of the world about you. And you're able to take action as necessary.
But so many people, oftentimes myself included.
Mostly us, I think. Maybe other people.
Don't feel like there's a well-rounded understanding of what it means to really be human in the way that Christian anthropology reveals that to us.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to go deeper into some of this in a later paragraph where they're talking about the role of the family in the formation for the apostolate, because I think that's a huge thing.
That's where we ought to receive that well-rounded human formation.
Mm-hmm. But also the whole educational apparatus around us should be informing us well about the modern world, prepare us to join our own community, to contribute toward the common good. There's going to be more about this in a later paragraph. Maybe the piece that I want to talk the most about from this one, though, is that being formed in the apostolate presupposes that we are a member of our own community. Now, a year or so ago, I wrote up a little booklet for some missionaries and for students that I called College Like a Catholic, because I thought the title sounded cool. It currently just exists as a PDF. I haven't published it or anything. But I just talk about the presupposition that a college student should be part of their community. Because part of the problem right now is that college students often are not part of their community, whether it because they have their earbuds in before and after class, when they're walking through campus, they're on their phones, they're not talking to people in the dorms, they're not sitting with strangers in the dining hall, they're not joining extracurriculars as much or as intentionally or as deeply, depending on the campus. That's a huge overgeneralization. I get that.
But I think this is one of those areas where we could easily say we could do a whole podcast on what does it mean, and probably will at some point in time, what it means to be part of one's community and, mm-hmm. and how that affects the apostolic life.
Yeah. But it is one of those things, like, before I can actually be engaged in apostolic work as a layperson, I need to ask the question, am I a contributing member of this community? Am I getting involved in local politics? Am I engaged with my... Do I know the names of my neighbors? Do I have their phone numbers and do they have mine? You know, basic things about what it is to be in a community that we stumble across or stumble over from time to time. But I think this document is saying, as a layperson, we are called to really be in the world. Not of it, but in it. And part of being in it is just the... very practicals of joining in and honestly creating community life, because a lot of neighborhoods are dead, and we actually, if we're part of that neighborhood, are charged with being centers of life.
Mm-hmm. So that's human formation, which clearly we could go on and on about.
Oh yeah.
The next piece of our formation that's important is that spiritual formation, and this is probably one of my other favorite sentences in this. To perform the mission of Christ in the church by basing his life on belief in the divine mystery of creation and redemption, and by being sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I love that, because I think there's, when it comes to spiritual formation, there, the knowledge, the writings, the things that we have access to in terms of spiritual readings from the saints and from the church is endless and so rich and so full. But remembering that these things come down to understanding creation, and redemption and being sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit just is so beautiful and succinct and yet so comprehensive all at the same time.
I mean, it's saying we should be basing our life on the creed. Like, what, mm-hmm. what are the pillars of the creed, right? God the Father who created heaven and earth, God the Son who redeems humanity, and then the Holy Spirit who is living and active in the church, right? You know, he's the one who's granting forgiveness of sins. He's the one who is sustaining the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, right? He's the one who makes his dwelling in us and in the church universal. And it's a call to base our life on this belief that these things are true, that these things are meaningful, and they apply to us, that we have been created, that we have been redeemed, and that we are called to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that he is moving in us. And about the rest of the world, everything that we see has been created, and everything that we see cries out to be brought to the fullness of redemption, and the Holy Spirit is working for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we look at the world, if these are not the goggles we're using, we're not seeing the world.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, this is where all healing flows from, right? Like, we're big fans of Bob Schutz and his book Be Healed, and any friend of ours who has gone on a retreat with him has come back not literally glowing. We know that sometimes happens with, like, Moses and such, but, you know, there is a peace about them and a joy about them that has deepened.
And it seems like the real crux of it is it's about believing truth instead of lies, and believing our rootedness in the Father and understanding, like, who we were created to be and what creation around us was for, and that we're redeemed by Christ and that we can mature in him, and that the fruit that we bear is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of something else when we're not rooted in the Father and when we're not maturing in Christ, but being able to get rooted in the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is one of the reasons why his work is so powerful and probably needed right now in the church, because it's bringing us back to this essential thing. The document Apostolicum Ex Societatem says this formation should be deemed the basis and condition for every successful apostolate. And it's just, like, so simple, but there's so much that can be, I want to say the word unpacked, but I'm told that I use that word a lot. I don't have a good synonym right now.
Well, but I think that if this formation should be deemed the basis and condition, remembering the richness and depth of it, but also how easy it is to get distracted and to not base what we're doing on these fundamental truths, and to be reminded to come back to this if we get distracted. And if we're not having a fruitful ministry, to maybe come back. This is a great place to start again. How am I failing to focus on the creed?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the spiritual formation.
After that is one of my favorites. It's the intellectual formation. It says, in addition to spiritual formation, a solid doctrinal instruction in, wait for it, these are biggies, theology, ethics, and philosophy, adjusted to differences of age, status, and natural talents, is required. And then the importance of general culture, along with practical and technical formation, should also be kept in mind. So these are formation of our intellect around basic truths. And notice the three categories of truth presented: theology, ethics, and philosophy. You know, theology, which is unpacking who God is and what he does. So we have faith and we seek understanding, and we love God, and that love of God desires a greater intimacy and a greater knowledge of him. Ethics is how we treat our fellow man, right? Our neighbor, as it were. And so it's all about how can I love them better? How can I treat them in the best possible way? How can I respect their dignity in every act that I commit? And then philosophy, not just armchair philosophy, but truly developing this love of wisdom, a sense of wonder and awe at truth, at wisdom, at how things are pointed toward our Creator and are from our Creator. And this sense of wonder should be cultivated, right? That philosophy first and foremost flows from wonder and flows from love. But notice that these are the three categories of love of God, love of neighbor, and then, you know, a truly fruitful and truly wonder-filled self.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you go way back, like 18 episodes, when we talk about apostolic formation, apostolic direction is what we called it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about talking through love of God,
love of neighbor, and love of self.
Mm-hmm. Because these are three things that we can...
So when we have good doctrinal instruction in theology, ethics, and philosophy, we're going to be able to have more fruitful apostolic direction, more fruitful conversation about how... What does it look like to love God well? What does it look like to love God, neighbor well? And what does it look like to love self well? Because I think especially...
Well, to be a good lover, right? Not just love self, but how to be a good lover.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. And I think this is an interesting thing, too, because it talks about, you know, being able to be part of the general culture. But we live in a culture of death. And I've been having conversations with people recently about areas where I'm noticing that I'm still very much marinating in this American culture, whatever that we live in, and how it's affecting the way I think and the way I act. But realizing that the more that I marinate myself in good theology, ethics, and philosophy, that will retrain my brain and help me to not throw the baby out with the bathwater with the rest of our cultural stuff that's going on, but also to uplift the conversations that I have, uplift the places where I am that are maybe not quite so good yet.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it's actually incumbent upon us as disciples of Jesus Christ to nurture a culture of life here and now in our community, like that cannot be stressed enough.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished reading, and you just started reading, The Story of the Trapp Family Singers by Maria Augusta von Trapp, a woman who... famously played by Julia Andrews in The Sound of Music. She wrote a book about her life. She's actually written several books, but this one in particular, it's just so Catholic and it's so culture building. It's like the instantiation of ideas that I've seen in Leisure, the Basis of Culture by Joseph Pieper, and in The Restoration of Christian Culture by John Senior. She's just living it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so with this, you know, the importance of stories for cultivating theology, ethics, and philosophy, and cultivating a general culture might be worth mentioning along with the intellectual formation.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we got? We've had human, we've had spiritual, intellectual.
So apostolic remains. This is a fun one.
And this is, it's one sentence. To cultivate good human relations, truly human values must be fostered, especially the art of living fraternally and cooperating with others and of striking up friendly conversation with them.
That cracks me up.
I know, right? The art of striking up friendly conversation with others.
And I think that this is something that the reason why I say it cracks me up is because it's something that I feel like I've been really struggling with and wrestling with. And had been wondering, like, what's wrong with me? And I recently had a friend who I'm hoping to convince to do a whole podcast on striking up friendly conversation with us. But she talked about how, you know, learning how to navigate being a socially awkward person and having sort of five general questions that you can ask people to get conversation going. And the thing that was interesting to me is she says, and if those five questions don't get a conversation going, you are not the problem. And that's something that went, you know, it's got me wondering in these times where I'm trying to strike up friendly conversations, am I the problem? And if I'm not the problem, what do I do about that? Again, this is opening a can of worms, but I just love that having friendly conversations is pretty fundamental to.
Mm-hmm. I didn't look up what the Latin phrase was for that one. Maybe for next episode, I'll look up the Latin phrase. But striking up friendly conversation, and that is so much of apostolic form. It's the beginning of the training for the apostolate. One thing that, for whatever reason, people started calling it this, and I thought, I don't like that name. I hope it doesn't stick, and it stuck. But they called it bare handing, B-A-R-E, handing, meaning not going out with any other intention, no books, no pamphlets, no tracts, no nothing, just going out and striking up conversation with people in the hopes that a friendly conversation might ensue in which the gospel might be shared. And this is something that we used to do on college campuses. I think we do it a whole lot less in the parish because the opportunities are very different.
I mean, you've literally gone out downtown looking for people to talk to and there just was nobody.
It was a bad time though. It was like early morning because it was when me and a friend could go out. But to go to where people are and strike up a friendly conversation, whether it be someone, you know, at the cash register or buy the fresh fruit at the grocery store, or whether it be at the kids' soccer practice, or whether it be even after Mass, you know, just striking up a friendly conversation with somebody. And to know, like, all I'm doing right now, striking up a friendly conversation.
And that is a good, regardless of what name you give it.
And this is something we need more formation in.
Yes.
And I think maybe that was a healing thing. It's like, I feel like I need more training in this. And it's saying, everybody needs training in this.
Yes. And I think this is one where, I mean, going back to the very beginning with the human formation and that it presupposes certain human and well-rounded formation, I think some people received that in terms of especially that friendly conversation aspect of interacting with other human beings. But some people tend really naturally and really well to it. And for those of us that it doesn't, we feel a little silly about it, especially when we see people who do kind of have a gift for it. But this reminds us that most people actually probably need help in that area.
And most people probably don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm. And then, as we mentioned at the beginning, there's also this call for practicals, that this can't consist merely in theoretical instruction. So it's one thing to say, oh, we should have friendly conversations. It's another thing to say, okay, practically speaking, how do we do that? What does that look like? And I think in terms of practicals with all four of these areas, that's where you would happily do a podcast on every one-third of a sentence in this paragraph.
I mean, there's just a lot of good in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like broad sketches, broad strokes or a sketch or a skeleton of something that we could spend our lifetimes putting flesh on.
Mm-hmm.
But the practical part is brilliant because it talks about developing and improving through doing, but also along with others who are developing and improving. And this is the brilliant thing about the formation for the apostolate, is that it's not supposed to be undergone alone.
Mm-hmm.
That we really do need people in our lives who are also pursuing this, who are also knowing that they are not yet fully formed and seeking the formation they need.
And that we're not ever going to be fully formed is also something that is sort of suggested in this paragraph.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like that's all the more reason to do this with somebody, is that we can help each other along the way in these different areas that are sort of never ending.
Yeah, it says this formation always in need of improvement because of the increasing maturity of the human person. So part of our problem is we're just getting too mature. That was a side note from me. My voice changed a little bit to indicate that to you, O listener. And so in need of improvement also because of the proliferation of problems. It's like, yes, life gets messy and then it gets messier and I need to be better formed in order to actually respond well.
To the increasing messiness.
And to find people who are going to walk that walk with me as we're talking that talk. It is actually possible to walk and talk at the same time.
In fact, for some people, more talking happens when there's walking.
I don't know why this is, but some of the best conversations I have with men are when we're taking a walk. Maybe it's because we're not looking at each other. Maybe it's because awkward silences aren't as awkward, and I give them more awkward silences, which is healthy. I don't know exactly why. But to find people to walk with, and to know that we should be learning gradually and prudently how to view, judge, and do all things in the light of faith. And this is a beautiful thing. Are we looking at everything through the eyes of faith? Do we recognize that everything is a gift? Are we able to make real judgments? You know, judgment as to the value of something. You know, is this an objective good? Is this a good for me right now to pursue? Are we able to make those judgments? And then do we act in accordance to the judgment we've made? And do we have people who could walk beside us to have those conversations? To say, this is what I'm seeing. Am I seeing the whole picture? Or this is how I view this good, you know? Can you tell me where I'm off? Or I'm going to go do this. Will you come with me? It's a beautiful thing. This is so much of the Christian life is just being sent with companions.
Makes me think about how our eldest son always says, but I want to do it with somebody.
He does do that. And I get it. I don't like being alone.
It's written in our hearts.
It is. Ooh, and then the other piece about this is that this formation requires an ever deeper knowledge, and it also requires planned activity. I think that's one thing that rubs people the wrong way when they're thinking about the Christian life. There's sort of this idea that it shouldn't have any planning. I don't think this is saying that everything goes as planned.
Or that everything needs to be micromanaged, control freak, planned every detail.
Right. Those would be both the
extremes.
And the virtue would seem to be in the middle of this one, is that we should be intentional in our activities. We should plan. We should think ahead. I mean, this is a part of what a morning offering is thinking through the day ahead. And offering it, not just saying, you know, a blanket statement. I mean, the blanket statement's good too, don't get me wrong. But to take a moment to just think through, who am I going to see today? What am I going to do today? And to offer it. And to know that that plan has been given to God, and that He has a plan for that, for how everything is actually supposed to be forming us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. That would be the sort of practical side of it, that all four dimensions, the human, the spiritual, the intellectual, the apostolic, should be undergirded by trying, by going out and trying.
And trying with somebody. So.
Ooh, and then the final little section of this paragraph, it talks about how, as a living member and witness of the church, the layperson renders the church present and active in the midst of temporal affairs. So as we're being formed, well, first it says, if we're actually being well formed, we're going to be wholly and actively engaged in the reality of the temporal order and be able to conduct our affairs in this order. So like the layperson should be doing their best and should be participating in the life around them. But as we're being formed and as we're in the world and not of it, we are also then rendering the church present and active in the midst of temporal affairs. So like whatever job we have, whatever job we've been tasked with for the day, if we're actually being formed, we are, I mean, even if we're not being formed, we're baptized. We can't help but to render the church present and active. But to be intentional about it, to be in cooperation with the graces given, that we're rendering the church present and active in a way that people could then perceive. Like part of evangelization is witness, and part of that witness is doing everything in the light of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, was there anything else about this paragraph? Oh, did you want to offer the...
Yeah. So I had this idea.
Idea. That's the word.
Because I told Joseph that after we did one podcast on paragraph 29, I was going to make him move on to paragraph 30 next week and finish up the chapter, one paragraph, one episode at a time. But as we mentioned, we could probably unpack every one third of a sentence from this particular paragraph, especially for a long, long time. So if you have a particular section of this paragraph that we talked about, or maybe that you read on your own, that you would love to hear more about, and especially more practicals about, I think is what we'd really like to unpack more. If you want to either post on this Facebook, when we post it on Facebook on that, or send us an email at our outpost@gmail.com.
That's outpost@gmail.com.
And then we would happily take requests for the subsequent podcasts for a couple of weeks for unpacking some of these particular things a little bit more.
Also, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play. Does Spotify have reviews?
I'm not sure.
Well, if they don't, you know, find a way to contact Spotify and say thank you so much for allowing the Grubers to podcast on this platform. And then the people at Spotify will feel good about existing and working and furthering the kingdom of God through providing a platform for podcasts like this one. Maybe. And better ones. Anyway, feel free to leave reviews. Reviews are helpful for us because then we know what we're doing well. And then emails are great for us because then we know what we're not doing well.
Also, it's just fun to get emails that are real and not garbage.
Spam?
Spam, yeah.
Yeah. Also, you know, if you want to give us a call or text, that's fine too if you have our phone numbers.
Yeah, we like hearing from you guys.
Yeah. It's right. Been really great.
I'm going to pray us out now.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Teach us to be attentive to your movements around us and in our hearts. Help us to pursue better formation each day. And help each of us to have a companion to pursue this formation with. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. So take my hand, let's be on our way. And now finally, I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours. Thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's S-K-O-C-H.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.